Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. It's Monday, April 16th, 2018. I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And I am Zipora Nyambura. We are also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Looking forward to getting your comments and reactions to the stories we are covering. Coming up on the show, chaos at Kenya Electoral Body as three officials resign, citing lack of faith in the chairman.
These three commissioners now are saying all this. Where have they been? If they have thought all this while that he wasn't a steady and stable chairman, what were they doing in it all this while handling one of the most sensitive matters in any democracy?
New laws calling for bloggers and online operators to pay fees in Tanzania raises fears of government clamping down on online media and dissident voices.
There's a generalized atmosphere of uncertainty and people asking a lot of questions without getting any answers. The freedom of expression in this country is progressively being shut down.
These are some stories we've lined up for you, but first, let's listen to what's making headlines around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. An EU foreign minister meeting convened in Luxembourg on Monday, where the ministers discussed measures on how to revive the political peace process in Syria after the US, the UK, and France conducted joint airstrikes over the weekend against alleged chemical weapons sites near the capital of Damascus. Syrian allies Russia and Iran condemned the airstrikes, while EU High Representative Federica Mogherini said all efforts should be made to prevent the use of chemical weapons in the embattled country. She called on Russia and Iran to begin peace talks.
We clearly call upon, in particular, Russia and Iran to exercise their influence on Damascus to start serious and meaningful discussions under UN auspices in Geneva.
Meanwhile, German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas sounded off against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, saying while in Luxembourg that Assad's regime cannot be part of the solution in the country.
There will be a solution involving everyone who has influence on the region. Nobody can imagine someone who uses chemical weapons against his own people to be part of this solution.
Das kann sich wohl niemand vorstellen.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel's government has maintained their stance in not participating militarily, instead insisting for a diplomatic solution to end Syria's seven-year bloody civil war. In Nigeria, gunmen have allegedly kidnapped a German citizen in the northern state of Kano. Local police said an officer escorting the German national was also killed during the abduction, and that a manhunt for the perpetrators has begun. The German embassy in Nigeria has so far not released a statement. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Three Kenyan election board commissioners resigned from their post on Monday, saying in a statement at a press conference in the capital, Nairobi, that the Electoral Commission lacks leadership. The Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission received heavy criticism during Kenya's extended elections last year, when the country's Supreme Court nullified the results of President Uhuru Kenyatta's election win, citing flaws in the electoral process. Protests and political violence left at least 90 people dead during the election period. At least 100 people have been killed by a severe outbreak of Lassa fever in Nigeria. Humanitarian aid organization Doctors Without Borders said more than 400 people have been infected with the dangerous virus since the outbreak began in January. Nigeria's National Center for Disease Control said it is the first time the virus has infected so many people in the West African nation. And now in sports, a Bundesliga football club Schalke beat Borussia Dortmund by the score of 2-0 on Sunday, giving the club a 4-point lead over Leverkusen and Dortmund and a 9-point lead over fifth-place Hoffenheim. Another win would likely give Schalke a chance to compete in the Champions League for the first time since 2014. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And I am Zipora Nyambura. Thank you to all of you who are listening to us on Facebook. Eric Ojombo says he's listening. And Honest Joseph says, I like your news. Thank you very much.
We like you too.
We start off in Kenya, where three election officials have resigned, adding more chaos at the Electoral Commission body that oversaw last year's botched presidential vote and rerun, and which was then boycotted by the opposition.
The resignations leave only two commissioners and the chairman at the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission. From Nairobi, Andrew Vasike sent in this report.
The three officials, Margaret Mwachanya, Paul Kurgat and Vice Chairman Koning Katha Maina, say lack of faith in the current chairman Wafula Chebukati was the main reason for quitting office. The Vice Chairman Katha Maina did not mince her words.
The commission boardroom has become a venue for peddling money, misinformation, grounds for brewing mistrust, and a space for scrambling for and chasing individual glory and credit.
The IEBC chairman, Wafula Chebukati, had called for a crisis meeting earlier today to try and prevent a fallout within the commission, saying he only heard the news of the resignation of his colleagues in the news. Political analyst and public policy expert David Osiani says that the writings were on the wall and the resignations come as no surprise.
The question we have always tried to ask and we must ask is, was IEBC independent from the beginning? These three commissioners now are saying all this. Where have they been as the chairman's hand has refused to be steady and stable? If they have thought all this while that he wasn't a steady and stable chairman, what were they doing in it all this while handling one of the most sensitive matters in any democracy?
Osiani says that the new developments open a can of worms in Kenya's 2017 elections, which were marred by mass illegalities and irregularities.
They defended the chairman when the court, you know, during the court process, they defended the commission. How come now suddenly this comes up?
The chaos surrounding Kenya's electoral body started even before the elections. However, the just resigned official maintains all went well. Here is Margaret Mwachanya.
I think we had a very good election, I must say that. Credible, and they were free and fair.
Kenyans have received the news with shock since the commission has ignored calls from the opposition to step down during the elections, leading to demos and deaths of some protesters.
I think it would have been more better if they resigned during that time of elections. It would have made a lot of sense. Right now, it does not make any sense.
I am so shocked because the commissioners stood their ground and vowed not to quit office. But now they have resigned. I don't understand why so many Kenyans died just because they refused to do what they have done now. What they did was not good.
Andrew Wasiki with that report.
And of course, those were voices of Kenyans giving their views on that issue. And also to mention, Ed, we have got lots of comments on this issue. Mm-hmm. Clinton Achiri from Cameroon says, "For me, what I think is that African electoral bodies should be made up of religious leaders. Then it will be independent."
Interesting one. Well, Caleb Charu from Nairobi, Kenya says, "Election bodies must stay away from politics by following the law accordingly and practice the mandate given to them by it."
So thank you very much for those comments. Keep writing and we will read when we can. But now we head to Europe, where European Union foreign ministers have threatened new sanctions on Syria today, but fell short of the punitive measures the US is set to impose on Russia.
Now, ministers from the 28 EU member nations met in Luxembourg to revive the political peace process in Syria following the US-led airstrikes on Saturday morning. Ajit Niranjan has more.
The US, Britain and France fired missiles at suspected chemical weapon sites in Syria. EU foreign ministers backed military action, having blamed President Bashar al-Assad's regime for the Douma attack that left at least 40 people dead. British Foreign Minister Boris Johnson said the strikes were entirely right.
It is very important to stress this was not an attempt to change the tide of the war in Syria or to have a regime change or to get rid of Bashar al-Assad. I'm afraid the Syrian war in many ways will go on in its horrible, miserable way. But it was the world saying that we've had enough of the use of chemical weapons, the erosion of that taboo that has been in place for 100 years has gone too far under Bashar al-Assad, and it was time that we said no. And I think it was totally, therefore, the right thing to do.
German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas, however, believes the conflict cannot be solved without Russia.
We need a solution that everyone in Syria can accept. And as the backers of the Assad regime, the Russians also need to understand that.
The United States is due to announce new economic sanctions on Russia, aimed at companies that suspects of dealing with equipment related to chemical weapons. But EU diplomats are holding off until they have a clear idea of what the US is planning.
Ajit Naranjan reporting. Now, two other stories in Tanzania. Tanzania President John Magufuli has been widely criticized for stifling the opposition and the media critical of the government. In mid-March, a new law was signed requiring bloggers and operators of podcast and live streaming services to pay stiff licenses. To start a blog, one needs to pay at least $900 for a permit.
Under his rule, numerous opposition members have been arrested or jailed, critical media shut down, and people arrested for perceived insults to the president. I talked to a political analyst, General Ulimwengu, and first I wanted to know the general mood in the country.
The atmosphere in the country currently suggests that there is a lot of uncertainty as to what the government is going to do next to clamp down on press freedom and the freedom of expression. A number of media organizations have been shut down for a long period of time. Some of them have been fined. Some journalists have even disappeared. And we know that there's a generalized atmosphere of uncertainty and people asking a lot of questions without getting any answers. So we can say really that the freedom of expression in this country is progressively being shut down, constricted, and seriously limited.
Yeah, and I think it's this feeling of hopelessness which many are asking. What options are there for the opposition and the dissident voices?
The more the authorities clamp down on legitimate voices which seek to express themselves and air their grievances or their displeasure at will necessarily lead more and more people into clandestine, underground, and less transparent modes of expression. But you do not just shut down spaces and hope people will just shut up. They won't keep mum because they will always seek alternative ways of expressing themselves. And those could be even more nefarious and more damaging because they lack the institution of gatekeepers.
Those who support him say his approach and governance have helped fight corruption and they have brought certain benefits to Tanzania. Are there still strong supporters of Magufuli at the moment?
I think they are diminishing by the day. When he started out and he took some measures against people who were suspected of being tax evaders, people who were cheating the country out of legitimate resources and revenues. Pretty much everybody was behind Magufuli when he took these measures. But I have a feeling now that fewer and fewer people are inclined to support him because he has now tainted that anti-corruption, anti-tax evasion stance with the clamping down on the freedom of expression, and people asking themselves, they're really doing something good for the people. Why do you want to hide it?
I was talking to Generali Ulimwengu.
And of course, we posted this on our Facebook page and a lot of comments came through. We're going to share with you one from YB Saleh. Says, good. It will curtail hate speech and fake news, which characterize social media. Bloggers are hell-bent on insulting leaders and instigating unrest. Other African nations like Nigeria should follow suit. So a very interesting comment there, Zippy. So this person believes that this is good.
Yeah, but then that is his opinion. I think the opinions are really various and divergent, yeah.
They're like noses, right? Everyone has one.
Yeah, you're right. So we head back to our top story on Kenya, where three officials resigned today, citing lack of faith in the chairman. And of course, Ed, we've also been getting lots of reactions on this. Juma Mwakimatu says, Africans must understand who they are first. Second, it's serious to understand and accept the principles of constitution.
Interesting one there. And Ibrahim Jalu says, maybe the Election Commission of Kenya is better than that of my country, Gambia. So interesting comments. Thank you very much for sharing them. If you're just joining us, welcome to the program. I'm Eddie Maika Jr.
And I am Zipporah Nyamura, thanking also our Facebook listeners on DW Africa. Coming up, video game craze in Ghana raises health questions among young people.
Here in Ghana, it is even more serious when people would have to abandon food just to play games. See people playing games, walking on the roadsides, and they might not be conscious of even an oncoming vehicle.
Not to forget, our sports segment will be coming up soon.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, Eddie. But first, we head to Togo because protests in the country continued this weekend as opposition groups continue demonstrations against the government. The protests are mainly about one thing: the demand that the country return to the old constitution of 1992 that would limit the president's maximum period of rule to 2 terms of 5 years each.
Now, the family of Nyasimbe Eyadema, who took power in 1967, has ruled the country for over 50 years, and that is what opposition groups want to change. As mediation talks are set to continue to tackle the situation, many fear that the government will still try to hold on to power. Adrian Christ compiled this report, now read to you by Eunice Wanjiru.
In 1992, Eyadema Nyasibe passed a law limiting the president's term of office to 2 terms. 10 years later, he overturned the rule to remain in power. Upon his death in 2005, the military helped install his son Faure as the new head of state, a position he maintained through subsequent controversial elections till now. In a country of about 8 million people, recent regular protests have witnessed over 100,000 people take to the streets with frequent clashes with security forces. Dozens have been arrested and at least 11 reported dead among other casualties. Interventions were made by neighboring Ghana's President Nana Akufo-Addo in February. It sounded promising as some political prisoners were released, but it only lasted for a while because an agreement could not be reached. But Ghana's mediation attempts are not over yet, and Togo's communications minister, Guy Lorenzo, believes that protests should cease while mediation talks continue.
Whoever doesn't accept this decision should go to court because it was an administrative decision. If the court finds out that the state had no authority, then you can go ahead and protest. But none of those steps have been taken. We are a nation governed by the rule of law, so we can't accept it.
Security forces continued to crack down on protesters this weekend, and representatives of the 14-party opposition alliance were not left out. Doji Apavon is the leader of an opposition party.
Yes, but in reality, we don't even demonstrate. The military just shoots tear gas. One can only wonder what is going on inside them.
Togo's president is meanwhile meeting regional heads of state, ECOWAS, the West African Community of States that he chairs, with the agenda of solving political crises in Guinea-Bissau. The political crisis on his doorstep, however, seems not to be part of the discussion.
That report was compiled by Adrian Krish. And of course, Eddie, we have got lots from our online and our Facebook users.
For sure. Now, let's start with David from Southeast Nigeria. Government is not a family business. Why should one family take a whole country as a huge word to use? Fools who have no right to rule. That government should give way for others to try and see how things can be better. The country belongs to all the citizens.
And Diki from Brazil says, actually, I like ECOWAS more than the AU and UN because ECOWAS has always gotten solutions to most regional problems within her jurisdiction.
Well, Ibrahim Jalo Gambia says both the regional bloc ECOWAS and AU should wake up and solve the ongoing political tension in Togo. Thank you very much for your comment and for all those that have joined live on the show.
Health check.
Now, playing video games is a phenomenon that is fast catching up with many young people. And in Africa, the craze is significant, but the health implications for those addicted is emerging, as the World Health Organization warns.
DW's Isaac Kalechi in Accra, Ghana reports that authorities there are equally worried and are making efforts to sensitize young people about the health dangers of being addicted to playing video games.
About a dozen young people are packed inside this video game center. in a Ashanti community of Mamoubi, not far from the central business district of Accra. They are playing all manner of games, and some even place bets on them. Some here are as young as 13. There are over 500 of such centers spread across Ghana, according to the Gaming Commission of Ghana, but many of them are illegally operating.
It's a pleasure to be alongside Jim Beck. Thanks for that, Peter, and may I say a big hello to everyone.
Playing of games are not just done at these centers, but on phones and TVs at homes in Ghana. But the World Health Organization has said in a recent publication that becoming addicted to video games could affect the mental health of people. Awal Mohammed is 27 years old and lives in the Ashanti region of Ghana. Among other things, his sight has been severely damaged by his addiction to video games, he claims.
When you don't play the game, you feel like something very huge is taken away from you. It's just like you addicted to Lipton. When you don't take Lipton, you feel like, you know what, one side of my head is aching or something like that. That's my feeling. Before 2016, I didn't know I have an eye problem. Upon several investigations, I was given glasses to protect my eyes from my computer screen and the screens of television when I'm playing games.
A campaign has been launched to clamp down on gaming centers opening up for young people. Deputy Director of the Commission in Charge of Operations, Abina Adomensa, says sensitization is taking place to protect young people as the first approach.
So we are working with the National Commission on Civic Education to roll out a public sensitization campaign targeted especially at children so that we educate them on what the rules says about gaming and some of the effects of gaming on their health as of now.
A mental health activist in Ghana, Daniel Lati, who speaks against excessive playing of video games, says a change in attitude is key in controlling the trend.
Very important for people who are addicted to games to know that it could affect them. Here in Ghana, it is even more serious when people would have to abandon food just to play games, see people playing games, walking on the roadside, and they might not be conscious of even an oncoming vehicle. It has to do with the gratification they get in this, but of course, it mustn't affect their health.
The referee blows the final whistle and the game is over.
It is clear that health experts and campaigners against excessive playing of video games have a major task to reach out to the thousands of young people glued to their games daily. But the conversation has now started and should catch up sooner than later.
Isaac Kalechi reporting from Accra, Ghana. Now, Eddie, coming from Ghana, tell me, how much do you know about these video games?
Oh, I knew a lot growing up, Sipora. And the thing is, the other aspect of this is you end up spending a lot of your money, you know, especially when you go to outdoor areas where you have to pay to play the games and you always want to win. If you lose, you don't understand, you want to keep playing before you realize all your money is gone. Now, that is definitely something that also a lot of growing up kids should take into consideration. You never played games?
No, I never did that.
You never did that. Okay, I guess maybe it's a guy's thing. I don't know. But let's head to some sports news now. It's time for the major updates from the world of sports this weekend. The Commonwealth Games have come to an end. But how did African teams fare in the games? Also, it's a battle to qualify for the group stage of the CAF Confederations Cup as matches resume this week. Here's Samson O'Malley with the latest sports news.
A total of 16 matches will be played on Tuesday and Wednesday across various venues on the African continent when the second leg round of matches in the CAF Confederations Cup resumes. Most teams will be aiming to qualify for the lucrative group phase of the competition. The draw for the group stage has been scheduled for Saturday, the 21st of April 2018 at the CAF headquarters in Cairo, Egypt. Football Kenya Federation has lodged an appeal against Equatorial Guinea's participation in the ongoing 2018 Africa Women's Cup of Nations qualifiers. They have questioned their eligibility to compete in the qualifiers as FIFA has banned the country from competing in 2019 FIFA World Cup in France. FKF president is Nick Wadwawa.
Why is CAF saying that Equatorial Guinea has to play? Do you understand what I'm saying? If FIFA has got you out, why are you in? And I'm on it. I've not been given a sufficient result. I'm going to be on it. But I don't want to depend on it.
But Robert Asembo, who is a member of CAF's appeals board, said the issue has been dealt with by CAF.
The issue was subject to the investigation by CAF, and that's very normal in football. There is still time to deal with that issue, and there are channels to be explored. FIFA and CAF, I think, work as a unit. So I do not think that FIFA would fail to listen to the kind of reasoning that CAF will come up with on the eligibility or ineligibility of Equatorial Guinea.
Now, after 11 days of competition, the Commonwealth Games in Australia ended on Sunday. Africa was represented on the medals table by South Africa in the sixth position with 13 gold medals and a total of 37 medals. Nigeria placed ninth with a total of 24 medals, and Kenya in the 14th position won a total of 17 medals. Other African countries on the medals table include Uganda with 6 medals, Botswana with 5 medals, Namibia with 2 medals, Cameroon with 3 medals, Mauritius, Seychelles and Ghana each with 1 medal. On the final day of the games, Africa's medals came from Namibia's Hilalia Johannes, who won the women's marathon in 2 hours, 32 minutes, 40 seconds.
5 days before this event, I was having a calf muscle pain, and I was a little bit doubting myself that am I going to finish this event. But when I enter the starting line this morning, I just feel confidence and tell myself that no, I must just go for it.
In rugby, the South African Sevens side failed to win a single medal at the Commonwealth Games as England defeated the Bilsborg 21-14 to secure the bronze medal. Neil Powell, South Africa's Sevens coach, says the Bilsborg just weren't good enough as they failed to make the podium at the Commonwealth Games on Sunday.
Disappointed, really disappointed. Not good enough today, and I think not so much the effort, but I think the decision making and just not using opportunities, but also creating opportunities for teams like Fiji and England, that's quality attacking teams, and not happy with their players, but just not good enough.
Aminat Adeniyi made a 3 gold medal for Team Nigeria in wrestling as she beat Michelle Fazari of Canada in the women's freestyle 62 kilograms final.
It is a dream come true. This is my second Commonwealth Games gold medal, so I'm so very, very happy. We've trained a lot for months that you just don't want to lose out, you just don't want to go home with silver.
Samson O'Malley with that report.
Now, Eddie, let me take you to Nigeria because it's confirmed that Nigerian President Buhari will meet U.S. President Trump on April 30th at the White House. The meeting is Trump's attempt to smooth relations after he described some African nations with a derogatory term, which I cannot mention here. Mm-hmm. And we asked on our Facebook page, when they meet, what should Buhari tell Trump about Africa? Maybe Africa is not a country, we asked. And of course,
Many comments coming through. I'm just going through some of them, which is making me smile a bit. But Imfikeseni Ndlolo says he should ask for advice on how to build a wall to prohibit Nigerians from migrating. Interesting one, Desi.
Juma Mwakimatu says, what is there to tell him? He doesn't know yet. I see nothing to tell, just to be astute enough to strike meaningful bargains and better deals for Nigerians. Mm.
Well, Baya Jeremiah says he should tell Donald Trump how serious corruption is on the continent. Okay.
And of course, Benedict Mezo says DW Africa is going to tell them that he will fight corruption.
Interesting. There's just a lot of back and forth in the comments. Well, Franca Onyema says he should tell Trump, if these people fail to vote me, I again will come back. And, well, this comment just messed up, basically saying that he'll do the same thing that Trump is doing. Interesting comments coming through.
Yeah, lots of anticipation on that meeting, of course. The last one, John in the UK says he should be on retirement now, not jumping around state visits.
Hmm. I mean, countries meeting different countries, that's not going to stop. That's part of the diplomatic process, okay? You go do business, talk about business, because there's a lot of reasons Buhari is there. So all in all, it should be a good meeting between him and President Trump.
Yeah, of course, Eddie. And Isaac Godwin says, I think you should tell him what we are working on, making a country with more efforts from the African Union and other bodies that are working tirelessly to unite the continent.
I got to read out this one. David from Southeast Nigeria says, well, LOL, what else do you expect from a confused president in person of Buhari? That old man has nothing to offer. Very interesting comment. But yeah, your comments are definitely very welcome.
Of course, Nigerians do comment a lot and they have a lot to say on this issue. And there's one also from Nicholas who says the confirmed info is laughable. Finally, the president is visiting the president at the White House.
Interesting one. Well, thank you very much for the comments that you've given us. And I guess that's all time will permit us today on Africa Link. The name is Eddie Micah Jr.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Bye for now.